Welcome to another edition of Conversations of the Heart. As always, it is your boy T-Till. I have a very, very special guest in the building, Kareem A. Williams. And he is an author. He is a speaker. He is a husband, a father. And he is somebody that, I was connected with. And I'm glad that we are going to have this conversation surrounding various important subjects that we are going to get into in just a couple seconds. But first, I want Kareem to kind of introduce himself, and for people who don't know who he is, for him to tell the people who he is.
Yeah, man. First of all, let me say, I'm going to shout you out, man. I appreciate you having me on your platform. Like I said earlier, what really drew me to your platform was the title itself, Conversations of the Heart, man. I think we don't have enough of those, man. There's so many conversations that we have now that is just fly by night. Hey, how you doing? And oh, I'm doing fine. And then that's it. We move on. But I really appreciate the title of your podcast, man. So, but yeah, me, like you said, I'm a husband and a father. I'm a believer. You know, I believe in Jesus as our savior. And for me, I'm just somebody who wants to live in his purpose. I don't want to be, just existing, as we say it, like, you can have a life, but that doesn't mean you're living. You know what I mean? So I'm somebody that's really trying to live in that purpose. And I'm finding that very difficult, to be quite honest. I'm finding it very difficult. You know, when you make a strategic, intentional move to live in your purpose and to go for everything that God has for you, man, it's not easy. It's not easy. So I love writing. I really need to do more of it. That's what other people tell me. And I love speaking. That's what I do. But I'm somebody that, you know, I love basketball, even though I don't get to watch it as much as I used to. I love playing ball, even though I don't get to play it as much as I used to. I love music. And yeah, man, I love real conversations, man. So like I said, that's really who I am as far as real conversations. That's what drew me to you. And of course, I want to shout out my wife. You know, she was on your podcast as well. Mm-hmm. That was a great episode for people to go back and watch. But yeah, man, that's it.
Absolutely. Shout out to your wife, man. Love your wife, Dr. Williams. Yeah, she's very dope. But first, also got a shout out because I believe you from New York. You from New York?
Yes, sir.
Brooklyn. I'm a Queens guy. Queens, New York. All right. Born and raised. I recently relocated to the West Coast. Like a couple months ago. But yeah, born and raised in Queens, man. Wow. And nothing like New York. It's nothing like New York.
Yeah, man. It's different.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely. It's definitely different. It's not easy to come from there, born and raised. It's not easy, you know, but once you can make it there, then everywhere else.
Yeah, man, that's what they say. Because I look back on it, now that you mentioned that, I look back on it, I was like, man, was it even safe for us to be on the streets as kids?
No.
When we were growing up, I was like, what was our parents thinking?
It wasn't safe. Jamaica Avenue, parts of Brooklyn.
Yo.
It definitely not when we was growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different place now, though. It's feels safe in New York now. Like, there's certain places you go, like, wow, like, this wasn't what I grew up on. This is very gentrified.
Yeah, man. It doesn't look the same at all.
Starbucks everywhere, Chipotle's and all types of, like, man, like, this is so different. Mm-hmm. I feel safe. I feel cozy out here. When I was growing up,
They got like a three-story Chick-fil-A, if I remember correctly.
Yo, I'm telling you, it's a different place, man. Like, before, I used to like watch
exactly.
Like, wait a minute.
Not looking nobody in the eye, walking straight.
My business, keep moving and hope they make it home with no problems. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, shout out to New York. But I kind of want to start here. The title of your book,
mm-hmm.
Overcoming Pornography, Crohn's Disease, and Depression. I want to start here. One, just let you know, bought the book. So I'll be waiting for that in the mail.
I saw that, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait to dive in, and you know, I will encourage everyone to support this man's book here. But we'll get to that in just a little while. But I was angry at God. Now, that spoke to me in a lot of different ways, because as a believer, you are not supposed to say that.
Exactly.
You are not supposed to say these things. It's
sacrilegious,
right?
Right.
I grew up a church kid. Like, I know all about it, right? And so, and if you say that you're angry at God, it's like, whoa, 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 what do you, you can't do that. You can't do
right. that. Right. Right.
So why did you name this book, I Was Angry at God, and of course, Overcoming Pornography, Crohn's Disease, and Depression, but why did you name this, Tim? Like, why did you name it this title?
Yeah, man, I'm glad you pointed that out, man, because the truth is, I knew it would get people's attention for two reasons. Like you said, first of all, we think that's sacrilegious. Oh, you can't be a believer and say that, you know, all the things you just said. But the matter of the fact is, I think there are a lot of people who are actually angry at God and don't know it. They don't know it. Mm. Like, let me give you an example. They may have lost a loved one, or they may have, you know, prayed about something. It was something big and it didn't happen. And they got greatly disappointed. Or, you know, they got a chronic illness like myself. That's what happened to me. I had a chronic illness. Mm. So you have all of these life-altering things happening in life, and we get angry at God because we know he can make a difference, and we're wondering why. Mm. So, but we don't call it anger. Why? Because like you said, saying, not saying it, but saying it at the same time, we were taught, you know, you can't say stuff like that. Like, but really and truly, we don't even process it because we haven't been taught how to process anger properly. That's one.
Thanks.
And we haven't been taught that, you know, I give this example all the time. All of us have parents, right? We were born, we had our parents, and we can think back on a time when we were children that we were angry at our parents, right? So my point is, if you can be mad at your earthly parents, what makes us think that we can't be mad at our Heavenly Father? Like, that blows my mind that we've really convinced ourselves, oh, that's not possible. That's not what it is. It's, oh, I'm going through this situation, or I must have done something wrong, or, you know, I'm just still waiting on God. Or the one that really bothers me is we don't think things are going to get better until we get to heaven. Mm. That bothers me.
So, you know, it's like you're always told, you know, especially growing up, it's like you'll get your citizenship in heaven and your rewards in heaven and everything else. And, mm-hmm. you know, and the one thing is people, and some people, like you say, you're absolutely right. They don't even know that the anger of God. Some people know it in front. Some people are, and they front, and they go and they say these, like, oh, no, never. No, I can't be angry with God. And deep down inside, they go home and they mad. Just like you said, you can get mad at your parents. I've gotten mad at my parents before. Like, kidding me? Absolutely. Right. And take it a step further, if you got mad at your spouse, I mean, people, I've never gotten mad at my spouse. Yeah, right. You've gotten mad at your spouse. Absolutely have. And that's a different type of love. You love this person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like them every day.
Right.
You may not understand why they do what they do. This is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that, you know, well, some people get divorced, but sometimes it doesn't mean that you'll leave them. It doesn't mean they'll leave you. But it's right. Like, I don't like you right now. I don't understand why you would do that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but people are human. So, you know, they do that. It's undercover. Oh, no, I love my girl. I love my wife, and everything was okay. We're on social media. Everything is fine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you at home tearing that house up. You know what I'm saying?
That's real, man. That's real.
So how can you not think that with real life tragedies going on in the world that people face every day, especially if you're a believer, how can you not get mad at God sometimes? Now, if you're not a believer, that's something different. How can you not get mad at God sometimes? It blows my mind, like you said. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, but I think we preach perfection. We preach like, okay, like we always talk about this perfect Christian, and you can never get mad at God. And people say these scriptures to you. Oh, you know, God wouldn't put nothing on you that you couldn't bear. People love telling you that when you go and do something hard. I don't hear that. Not right now. Right. You can keep that. And people get very holier than thou on you all the time. Mm-hmm. And they want to quote and tell you. And sometimes it's like, man, I'm going through something, please.
Yeah.
I'm going through. Yes, I might know all the scriptures. I get it.
Yeah.
So, man, I don't understand it. It's beyond my understanding. And I know the good book says, lean not on thy own understanding. I get not today. Right. We're not doing scriptures today because I'm mad. It's okay, right? Like, it's just like when you, it's just like a husband going to his wife with logic sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just upset and they just go and do something and they want to get it out. And then you want to come fix it. And yeah, I'm the man. I'm going to fix it with logic and reasoning. And they're looking at you like, man, if you come to me with this logic and reasoning.
Right. She's like, I don't need no logic and reasoning right now.
I just want to feel. Yes, I want to feel. I want you to listen. And I want to be angry. And I want it to be okay. And you're like, okay, all right, cool. Like, no logic, no reasoning, right? No problem.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I don't want to hear scriptures right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to feel. Especially when real life happens. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, what I realized we do, because I did this. I'm speaking from what I did. You know, like you said, this is why I titled the book this. Mm-hmm. I realized, you know, there's three types of people. One of them you covered. There's one person that is angry at God and they know it, right? Mm-hmm. And what that person does, they completely turn away from God. You know, some of them become agnostic or, you know, atheists. Like, they completely turn away from religion, faith, anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with it. But then you have two other types of people. You have another type of person who that's angry at God, but they don't know it. Right. And they're going through life trying to figure out, like, man, like, something's different. Like, I feel off. I'm angry, but I don't know where I'm placing this blame. They're still going to church, but they're not realizing they're not going to church as much. They're praying, but they're not taking everything to God in prayer. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like they're holding back certain things they want to talk about. I'm like, nah, I ain't going to even mess with you with that. Or, you know, they place God in a box and they say, you know, I'm going to be on this side and you go over here and I'll let you know if I need you type of deal. Right. And it's like, this is what we do, because now it's like the trust is broken. We're not sure if we can really tell God everything, or does he even care? Do you matter? Does what's going on in my life matter to you? Mm. Right. Can I trust you with this deep, deep problem? Because last time, blah, 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 X, Y, Z happened, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. then you have another person who's angry at God, and they know it, but like you say, they front about it. They yep. still go to church, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? They still say their amens and their hallelujahs. They still talking about God, like, oh, he's a righteous God, this, that, mm-hmm. the other. But deep down inside, they're not having that personal relationship. Now it's just for show. Mm-hmm. Because guess why? Because they know it's the right thing to do. Yeah, I'm angry at you, but I'm going to still go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry mm-hmm. at you, but I'm not going to pray as much. But I'm going to mm-hmm. act like I pray, right? Mm-hmm. I'm angry at you, but I'm still going to tell everybody that I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So I just noticed that, man. And in my book, I also talk about, you know, realizing that going to him was the only way I would get through that anger. Because it was him I was angry at. So I can't turn away and go to somebody else. He's like the ultimate person I have to go to anyway.
Mm-hmm. And the full transparency for me, I've been the person that has been irate at God.
Mm-hmm.
Never turned away, but I was the one that would put him in the box. I was that one. I knew I was angry. I admitted I was angry. I was fully aware that I was angry at God. I wasn't gonna front about it. I wasn't going to pretend. And I'm like, you know, I was like, you know what? I gotta put this arm's length in this box right over here. Cause I'm not in a place. I'm not in a place. And I was in that place for a while just because of certain tragedies that were happening in my own life. And some people couldn't understand it, right? Like, what do you mean? But you know, when they understood it, and I got calls 2-3 years later, I said, no, T, I understand what you were going through, because life hit them differently.
Exactly.
And I'm like, we can talk about it, right? Yep. Because I understand. Yep. And that's why it's so important that people don't judge and people don't, right, just write people off, you know, or you know, say, oh, you're sinning and that's the wrong thing. No, life hit people different and people react differently to trauma.
Yeah.
You don't understand it, right? And there are some people like who, like you, have not been mad at God, and they go straight to God, and it works, and it's just an amazing story. And if that's your story, beautiful. But for a lot of other people, went to God, did everything you did
right
at the time,
yeah, right?
And they're just going through a season. They're going, and it doesn't. It could be a short season, medium season, long season. People are going through different types of seasons in their life. So that's why it's best that we show each other grace while we're going through certain things and have understanding and not get too holier than thou and too religious, that we missed a part of being compassionate and empathetic towards people.
Right, right,
and,
right.
And I'm not going to give away too much of this book. Go out and get the book if you want to read more about this. But I do have one more question about this book. Not really so much about the book, but I kind of want to bring awareness to, if people don't know, what is Crohn's disease? Right? And just, you know, why did you choose to write about your own story with Crohn's disease, so people can be more aware about it?
Yeah. That's a great question, because you're right. To be honest with you, it was even more rare when I first got it. You know, I was 13, 14 years old when I first got it, and it was very rare in African Americans. It was more prevalent in Caucasians and Jewish people, right?
Wow.
So that's an interesting fact. And I kind of get into that, like you said, a little bit more in my book. But Crohn's disease is an infection in the small intestine, right? So this infection flares up your intestine. This infection, flares up your intestine to where it gets swollen, right? They call it a flare up. And mine at one point had gotten so bad that it was about the size of a baseball or a softball, right? Wow. Somewhere in between there. Yeah. So it had gotten really swollen. So what happens is, when your intestine gets swollen, you know, we know food is supposed to pass through, you know, our bowel system, you know, our digestive tract. But when it gets swollen, there's no space. So what happens is the food now can't pass through.
Wow.
That causes severe abdominal pain, right?
Right.
Most researchers compare it to giving birth to a child, right? Wow. So labor pains, basically. So imagine being in excruciating pain along with fever, diarrhea, constipation, headache, weight loss, because you don't want the pain, so you don't eat as much, so you start to lose weight.
Right.
Right. So for me, that's what it was. And I also had hot and cold sweats. There were times where, you know, my mom basically had to watch over me while I was sleeping at night.
Yeah.
Where I would wake up for two reasons, because I would be so hot,
mm-hmm.
and my sheets would be drenched. So she would have to change my sheets in the middle of the night. But also, I stayed awake. I woke up because of the pain. Like, this pain was waking me up out of my sleep. To the fact where I wasn't getting any sleep at night, and I would be exhausted during the day. And I would sleep all day, which also, you know, catered to my depression, right? Because I'm just sleeping. I'm not in the right mental state. My health is off. So that's Crohn's disease. So it really can really affect in a bad way your eating habits and just your whole lifestyle. So, yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. I didn't know too much about Crohn's disease. So that's why it kind of sparked my interest. Not interest, but just wanted to know a little bit more about just, you know, kind of what that is in more detail. So I appreciate you saying that and giving us a little bit more detail. It's important in raising awareness for that, especially something that was once rare in African Americans. Wow. Okay, cool. But if you want to read more, you got to go out and get that book. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Go out and get that book. We're going to tell you where you can get it a little later in the show. So, you know, you are a father. So talk to me a little bit about fatherhood, man. Like, what's your journey been like with fatherhood?
Oh, man, that's funny you asked that, because me and my wife were just talking about that earlier this week. We've learned a lot about ourselves, myself included. I've learned a lot about myself. I knew that I wanted children, but I did not know all of the challenges per se. I knew a lot of them because, believe it or not, my mom, she did foster care, and she also runs a daycare.
Wow. So, shout out to mom. Wow.
Yeah. Mom has been doing that for like 20 years plus. So it's like she, because of that, I've had experience in seeing and helping her, like what it is to really raise up a child or teach them certain things or take care of them. But for me personally, I've realized that it takes more patience. It takes even more patience than I thought. You see what I'm saying? Because a child, you know, from their point of view, you know, they go to mommy and daddy for everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're constantly behind you or in front of you, like daddy, 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 daddy. And sometimes, you know, when you're working 8 to 10 hour days and you come home, you know, you look forward to that initial hug and daddy's home, and man, that's a great feeling. But then after that, it's like you don't want every 5 minutes, daddy, daddy, daddy. It can get to you, right? And that's just being honest. So for me, that has been a challenge of exercising more patience, but also seeing myself in my children, like to the point where I see them, I'm like, wow, that's me right there. Like I do that, or I'm good at that, or I struggle with that. You know, that's another one where you see your children struggling in certain areas, as you do. Like, for example, our daughter, she's 6, and our son, he's 4. And we realize in our daughter that she gets kind of anxious, especially when, like, say she has a plan in her mind. If it doesn't go that way, my girls, you know, she starts to struggle. And that's me. I'm a planner. So it's like, I plan, and if things don't go that way, I'm like, all right, now I got to rethink and pivot, right? And I didn't learn pivoting properly until after I got married. So fatherhood has really, it grows you up, definitely. I would tell anyone, if you're not selfish, I mean, if you are selfish, don't have children, right? Because at that point now, you're not just looking out for you and your wife. Now you're looking out for another person who can't do anything for themselves. So that means that they totally depend on you.
Yep.
Right. So a selfish person can't handle that. So that's what I've gained from fatherhood. I love it. My children, our children are like our greatest joy right now, because man, they keep the house bubbly. They keep you laughing. They do crazy stuff. You're looking at them like, what would even make you think to do that? But they just having fun, man. They just being kids, man. We have to remember that at the end of the day.
And that's beautiful. And we were just talking about Crohn's disease. Now, is Crohn's disease, is it hereditary or is it not?
There are some studies that said it possibly can be, because one of the things I do believe in, and this is just me personally, and some studies have said this as well, but we eat the same things that our parents eat, right? Meaning, if you grew up in a household and all, you know, their favorite meal was fried foods, when you grow up, you're going to make the same thing, because that's what you know, that's what you like, that's what's familiar, right? So because we're having similar diets as our parents, it can cause us to have the same illnesses and diseases that our parents have because of just diet, right? Lifestyle.
Mm. Mm. So when it comes to preventative measures, because I know we're talking about children and things like that, are you guys taking preventative measures with them to have them eat differently? Because, look, I know the wife is a doctor, and she gives amazing advice on her social media pages. If you get a chance, go check it out. But, you know, she gives a lot of good advice, you know, about just about life and medicine and preventative health and things like that. So, like, you guys, I assume, are taking steps to, you know, I guess, make sure that your children eat differently than what you guys used to eat. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Like you said, so one of the things is we don't eat meat all the time. I would classify us as a flexitarians. And flexitarian just basically means someone who eats meat some of the time, but also eats a lot of, you know, fruits and veggies, natural stuff. But when you eat meat every once in a while, you're considered a flexitarian. That's just a broad definition of that. So that's what we do.
I just learned something new today. I had no idea what a flexitarian was.
Yeah. Flexitarian, you eat a little bit of fish, you eat a little bit of, you know, meat, but it's not heavy. It's not heavy on your diet. So I would say, like, for 1 week, we won't eat any meat. And then the next week, we'll add a little bit of meat in the diet as well. So, and then my mom is vegetarian, so that helps. So we make vegetarian dishes. I know how to make vegetarian dishes. You know, my wife, she knows about vegetarian dishes as well. But then, you know, we're from the islands, right? So we eat chicken as well, right? Mm. We eat fish as well. So yeah, man.
Eat that curry goat, precautions, curry chicken. Though,
like you said, it is a intentional thing, like you said, with the kids. It's like, okay, we're going to make sure you at least get some fruits and vegetables, or at least expose you more to them than I was exposed to them, right?
Right, so, yeah. Right. Mm, man, and being from the islands, man, I mean, you got, you know, stewed chicken, oxtail, curry goat, curry chicken. Yo, listen, man.
Yes, sir.
Jerk chicken, jerk everything, jerk pork. Like,
listen, man, it's a different thing. My wife, shout out to her, like you said, man, Dr. Not Miss on IG and on TikTok, Dr. Not Miss. But she's Haitian. And for the very first time, she introduced me to what they call kabwe, right? Mm-hmm. And that's fried goat. Listen, if you've never had fried goat, you make sure you go to an authentic Haitian restaurant, or, you know, some people that you know that are Haitian that can really cook, and have them make you some fried goat. You will not want goat any other way. I mean, except for in your roti, of course.
Oh, yes, yes. The roti, the doubles.
Yes, sir.
Shot. Yes.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, man.
Oh, man. Think about them Haitian patties, the rice, the soup. You know, that's one thing about New York I miss is...
Yeah, the food.
The food.
But Atlanta is getting like that right now. I mean, I know you're not in Atlanta, but I know... Even in Cali, I mean, you guys have a wide range of cultures and stuff.
Oh, yeah, in Cali, yeah. I'm in Nevada. And
you're in Nevada, you're in Las Vegas.
So I'm in, like, right next door. And my family lives, my brother and my mother live, and my sister-in-law, they all live in Atlanta. So I frequent to Atlanta often. So when I'm out there, I'm like, check you.
Yeah, because we got it out here, trust me.
Oh, there's so much food out there. Like, it's like a restaurant, like, on every half block. There's, like, two restaurants. I'm just like, man.
Yes, sir.
Atlanta got that food. So the one thing that I know that you speak about in general, breaking addictions, I know you talk about it in your book as well. I think you kind of link pornography and Crohn's disease somehow. Want to find out about that. Go ahead and get that book. But
yes, sir.
But when it comes to beating addictions, right? Like what are some of the ways that people can beat different addictions? Now, addiction is addiction. It could be different for everybody. You know, some are drugs, social media, alcohol. You know, you name it. There's drugs, right? Different drugs for everybody, or different vices for everyone, right?
That's right.
They work too much. right. And I mean that in the sense of they work too much, in a sense of so that they can cover up the pain, or so that they don't have to heal, or they don't have to acknowledge the feelings that they're going through. So what they're doing is trying to find different ways to work through instead of saying, yo, I got to deal with this. So that's what I mean by work too much. So So what would you say is some of the tips of somebody that can beat their different type of vices?
Yeah, man, listen, when I tell you, you just went in depth with that question and like how my book addresses it. First, let me say this, and you hinted to it. An addiction is nothing more than something that we use to try to medicate something else, right? Because for me, you know, and just giving you a little bit of the story, as a child, I grew very depressed, right? But I didn't know I was depressed. Because what child knows what depression is?
Don't.
So to me, what I was feeling, what I was thinking, I thought it was normal because it was all that I knew, right?
Mm-hmm.
But your mind is so powerful. It works so strangely that because I was depressed, my mind sought out something else to make me feel better. It just so happened that I stumbled across pornography. So then I medicated my depression with pornography, right? So that's part of my story. And like I said, as a child, like you said, you know, go out and get the book. I was angry at God. But that's part of my story. I didn't know what depression was. I didn't know what I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But my mind still sought something to feel better, right? That survival instinct kicked in, right? So I agree with you that we are just looking for something to make us feel better. We are just looking for something to get us through the day, basically, right? So again, mm-hmm. going back to not judging, we may have family members, we may have friends, we may have whoever that we know, coworkers, people at church that are dealing with addictions.
Yep.
And we're thinking, oh, you know, they might just be a bad person or negative, but we don't know what that person is going through. We don't know why or how. That's the other thing. How did they become addicted? Do you know their story? How did they get addicted to whatever it is they're addicted to?
Mm.
Right. So I just wanted to point that out before I go into, but I think your original question was, how do we start overcoming some of these addictions?
Yeah. How do we begin? Like, what are some of the tips? And not that you can, you know, somebody might just be watching this and say, man, like, I'm going, I got this little thing, you know, I got this little addiction. Like, how can I even start to get past mm-hmm. this? Right.
So let me start with, like you said, something that you won't hear in church, right?
Mm.
Sometimes you have to choose the lesser of two evils.
Mm.
And that's what I had to do. Now, again, at the time, there were times where I knew I was doing this. There was times where I didn't know I was doing this. But for me, I would play ball all day. And, you know, in New York, that was easy.
Easy.
Yeah. I mean, it got easier once I started making friends here in Atlanta, because we basically started doing the same thing. We would play ball all day, like to the point where you would think that we couldn't get tired. Right. As long as we was playing ball, we was all right. Right. Mm-hmm. But it also kept me out of trouble. Right. So when I say pick the lesser of two evils, there may be something that you like to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may be a waste of time. It may be just a hobby. It may be just maybe even a lesser addiction, right? Mm. But that has to be better. For me, that was better than watching porn.
Right.
Right. Right. So the other thing for me was playing video games, right? I'm a gamer. So there were times where I knew, I said, okay, if I can just occupy my mind with this game, right, for a few more hours until, you know, my mom gets home or until I have to go to work, or until I have to go back to class, then I know that I won't have time to watch porn, right? Because that's just being real. Because once you're alone, and I guess I can say that's another tip, don't be alone. That's a tip on how to, you know, overcome addiction. Don't try to have too much alone time where you know you'll get into trouble, right? So have friends, have good friends around, visit family. But yeah, you got to pick the lesser of two evils. Sometimes that's what you have to do. Okay. Mm. And you can write it down if you want to. Stack up all the pros and cons. Not that there's any pros to watching porn, but then stack that up against playing ball all day or playing video games all day. Right. Mm. I'm going to choose one of those because one, I'm getting exercise, and the other one, at least I'm keeping my hand-eye coordination on point. Right.
Right.
People, you know, parents fail to understand that yeah, your kids may be doing a little too much gaming, but at least their hand-eye coordination is staying up to par, right?
Right,
because there's
right.
a lot of people that don't have that, believe it or not. We know these drivers out here. They don't got no hand-eye coordination. So those are two of my tips right now that I can think of. The other thing is exercising, right? Because mm-hmm. when you exercise, right, it generates different chemicals in the brain to where you can distract yourself from your addiction, right? Mm-hmm. So exercise actually helps that. Music. I love music, all types of music. Mm-hmm. And music, as we know, can put us in certain moods. I would definitely say don't listen to the type of music that caters to your addiction, right? Mm. Because you can have certain music. I mean, again, going back to our heritage, there's certain music you may turn on and some people might be like, yo, I need to go and get me a spliff right now. And this music will be right. You know what I'm saying? I need to get mm-hmm. me some weed real quick. Mm-hmm. Or other people, you know, some music is a little too sexual, right? For them to be listening to all the time. So that is the case in point. Finding some music that just makes you feel good, right? So that's another thing. And that's therapeutic.
I like that. Especially with music. Because music takes you to various different places. Makes you feel different things. Takes you back in time. It takes you to, you know, some feel good. So music is definitely, definitely one of my top things to really do. I love that. So being a husband, man. Like you're a whole family man, you know, and with that, you know, can come some challenges, you know, as a man. Right. Yeah. And even though we both know, like, your wife is lovely, she's amazing. Right.
Yeah.
Married life can be challenging. Heck, relationships, regular boyfriend, girlfriend relationships can be challenging despite what you see on social media.
Come on.
So as a man, right, how do you deal with those challenges and pressure that come with being the head of the house, that come with, you know, certain stigmas of, okay, you got to be the provider. You make sure that you protect, you provide, and make sure that you do all these things. Make sure you got the moolah. Make sure you got the money. You know, that's big on social media. And you know that, you know, you've seen the I know you've seen the conversations. High value this, high value that, man.
Yeah.
You never lose your job. You can never do a lot of different things because you're a man, right? That comes with a lot of responsibility and pressure, especially when you have a wife and when you have kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a lovely, supporting partner, there's still things going on up here with you as a man, even if your partner is very supportive, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with the noise? Like, how do you deal with those voices? They're voices, and they loud. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what men do a lot is, I'm good. Are you good?
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, no, everything good. Everything good. And in here, it's like a war. World War 3, 4, 5, and 6. It's just
firing off.
And your wife is like, he's good. Oh, okay, he's good. And you sitting here like this. I ain't good.
They're headlights, right?
Yeah, I ain't good. I'm just pretending for you and the kids. I'm just, you know, I'm pretending for my mama. But I'm messed up, right?
Yeah.
How do you deal with those voices, man?
Yeah, so, man, that's so real what you're saying, man. First of all, let's talk about where these voices come from.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have to go back to our culture. You know, being from the Caribbean, you know, there are certain things that you just had to do. You had to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be respectful. You had to get a good job, all these things. So here I am. We bought this house and, you know, my wife knew that I wanted to write my book. She knew that I wanted to take my speaking more seriously, you know, do all these things on social media, podcasts, all these things. She knew. So when we bought the house, she was like, hey, you know, we bought the house. I think now would be a good time for you to quit your job. And I looked at her and I was like, you know, because this was an ongoing conversation. But I looked at her and I was just like, I don't know about that. Right. Because in my mind, like you said, I'm like, OK, what are other people going to be thinking? How am I going to tell my parents, her parents, you know, our family what our friends gonna think. And that bothered me because I'm usually the type of person who really doesn't care what other people think, because to me, I got my own stuff going on, so I don't be trying to, you know, put other people in my noise, if you know what I mean. So it's like, but when it came to this, now this is going down to my core values, it's going down to reputation, all these types of things. And we laughed about it afterwards, because my dad came and visited, because of, we had a family event, and we laughed about it afterwards. You know, when he left, I told my wife, I said, man, this is something. Like, I'm 40 years old and I was afraid to tell my dad that I quit my job. 40 years old, man. grown man. Mm. All the way grown. And you know, it two wasn't kids.
Married.
Yeah, two kids, married, got my own place. Yo, been doing this for a while. You know, we've been married 10 years. Mm-hmm. Right?
Congratulations on that too.
I appreciate it, man. We laughed at it. She said, man, culture is something. Because this is how we grew up. So I had to take that into you know, my thought process, because here we are now, 2 years later. I finally had quit my job. I was at my job for 8 years, right, doing civil engineering.
Wow.
And it was a struggle for me personally, outside of thinking what other people would think, because now I'm like, okay, where's my worth? Where's my value? Right? Because we put so much value and worth on what we do as opposed to who we are.
Yes.
Right? So that was a whole struggle. So now, like you said, even though I'm not at the 9-to-5 anymore, I now have to shift in my mind that, okay, like, this is for real. This is what I'm doing. I have all this time, and this is why I have all this time.
Yeah.
Right. My worth and value is not in the job I just left. And like you said, my wife was very supportive. She was like, listen, you know, I wanted you to leave that job 2 years ago when we got the house.
Ooh.
And, but what you say to yourself, like, do you believe you can do it? Do you believe this is the right time? All those things matter in how you carry yourself, because we go wherever our mind is, right? Or we're already at where our mind is. So it's like, these things are real in making those decisions, in what you believe about yourself, what you believe about your worth. So yeah, man, it was tough. It was tough. So for me, I just realized, day by day, stick to the plan. Know when to pivot, because like I said earlier, that's something that I struggled with. But if you want to learn how to pivot, go ahead and start your own business. You're going to learn about pivoting
fully.
on your own every day. Sometimes every hour you're going to be pivoting. So that's something I had to learn.
And that's so powerful that you said those things, because like, it's even like you said, you know, shout out to Dr. Williams for being supportive. But a lot of times it's you versus you. And honestly, even when your spouse is supportive, that's more pressure for it to work, because you sitting here saying like, yo, I know that this person is supportive and not a lot of people would be supporters of
me. And she said, go ahead.
Out of work. She said, go ahead. She said, a woman told me to quit my job to pursue my dreams.
Right.
It gotta work. It has to work, because if it don't, like, that's pressure. People are like, it's different, man. Like, the voices come from everywhere. And even some as good as support can turn into voices, because now you're like, yo, this thing gotta work. There's no, like, I want it to work even more now, because I'm getting the support. She's been the ride or die. Yo, it's gotta work. It cannot not work. And then, but not understanding sometimes that businesses take time for it to work. And it's that waiting period is tough, because the money gotta come, the checks gotta come. What do you do? Like, you fighting yourself 24/7, knowing that you got something good, but it's like, I'm not seeing the money yet. Yeah. And my wife is here being supportive. We got two kids, three kids, four, whatever it is. You got kids. And then you got your family looking at you like, you bringing in money yet? Or is this a hobby? You know, people be like, yo, listen, if you're not making money, it's a hobby. I know old school parents all the time. If you're not making money, it's a hobby. You're doing this for fun. And it's like, nah, like things take time to bubble. Things take time to grow, especially your own business. And that's why people are looking for a lot of overnight success, because they think that it happens like that. And it doesn't.
It doesn't.
But during that waiting period, a lot of this is up here.
Man, like, listen.
Who am I? Who am I? Are my kids looking at me crazy? I don't know. I think my wife might have changed her mind. And now she's looking at me crazy all the time. What she does? I'm wondering, is she wondering about me? I mean, she's saying the right things, but I'm wondering, is she really is she changed her mind? I mean, it's been like 2 or 3 months. I haven't brought in what I used to bring in. Does she still view me the same?
Right.
She could be viewing you just exactly the same, going off by her life and everything's good, and she thinking great things about you, but you like, wait a minute. Did she change her mind about this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can go back out and get a job now. Like, I can go back out there and get a job. And it's like you overthink so much because it's you versus you. It's not you versus them. And that's why a lot of men sabotage relationships, because they might have a supportive partner. Gets to them. And they're like, you know what? I'd rather go through this on my own. Sabotage it.
And because it's unfamiliar territory. They may have never been in a relationship or growing up with their parents where it was a supportive environment. So now you're in this supportive environment. You're trying something new. You're like, wait a minute. Yeah. This feels different. This feels strange. This feels odd. Like you said, it's like, okay, are they really supporting me? Because now your baseline, you know, your default is people don't support.
Right.
So now when you get in that supportive relationship, you're like, you looking around like, okay, when somebody gonna pull that rug from up under me?
Yo, yes. Yeah, you hit that. You know, you hit the nail right on the head. You are looking for that. You're like, all right, the shoe about to drop at some point. Some point, this ain't that good. Yep. Right? At some point, this support is about to drop. So now it's like, I'm in a rush to try to make this work so I could prove, like, it's worked. It's worked, right? And so, and now that's one scenario where you walked away, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're living in an economy where hundreds of thousands of people are just being let go. Not women, not just women, men, providers. Being let go of jobs. They could have been making incredible money. Now they're making nothing.
Yeah.
What are those voices saying to them? Like, see, now this is what we're talking about, right? They might have kids. These are things that people don't talk about when we talk about relationships. People want to talk about the bag. People want to talk about, oh, he or she are flying me out. They want to talk about these things. Right, that's very superficial, right? Things that don't matter. Oh, I want to live a soft life, and I want to do this, and I understand it. Get it? I get it completely. If you have the opportunity to live a soft life, live a soft life. I'm not for the struggle of. I get it, but let's talk about honesty, real life. Because here's the thing: everybody's talking about providership. Providership don't look like buying a house in 1960s and 1970 for $70,000.
No, sir.
That's not where we at, right? And so things are happening in the corporate world. Wages, there's not even a lot of livable wages in a lot of states, a lot of places. We don't talk about these things. We don't talk about, oh, his trauma, her trauma. And now you guys trying to bridge that. Oh, so we're going to bring it together.
Yeah.
And think that everything's going to be okay. Bruh, you got your stuff. So, I got my stuff, man. Like, are we supposed to bring this together and everything's supposed to be just great? On social media, though, it's everything is roses. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. You speaking the truth, man, because I would say to anybody, though, definitely make a plan, but just know that plan is just guidance. It's not going to go exactly how you plan. I would definitely say, as much as you can, of course, save, because that's what I did. That's what we did. I saved up knowing that, you know, I was going to walk away one day from the job, right? Mm-hmm. But if you never plan for it, trust me, you'll never do it, right? Especially if you're kind of like an introvert like myself. Mm-hmm. Now, extroverts, they might do it at the drop of a dime. They might just, yo, I'm done with this job. I'm going to just go jump out. But not everybody's like that, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody's like that. So I would definitely say plan. I'll definitely say pray, right? Look at the people that are around you, right? Because, you know, we know the saying that, you know, show me the top five people that you hang around. Mm. And usually you're either just as smart or you're the smartest one in the group, right? And usually you make just as much as they do. Like, you all make around the same amount. So start hanging out with people that are smarter than you. Start hanging out with people that make more money than you, right? And I think sometimes we get so comfortable in that zone that we don't want to step out and actually talk to somebody that makes more money than us. We're a little intimidated. Why? Because we're in our comfort zone with the people that make around the same amount as we do.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to step out to meet new groups of people, networking. You got to learn a new skill. Like, very quickly, when I had this time on my hands, I learned about how to podcast. I learned about, you know, the stock market. I learned about real estate. Like, these are skills that nobody can take from you. Like, once you learn to do it on your own, like, it's personal.
Yep.
Nobody can take that away from you. Yeah, you may not have went to school for it, but there's so many things now, you know, on YouTube University. People are graduating from there and starting their own businesses, starting their own side hustles. So you got to step out, because it's not going to look perfect, but you got to keep going. One of the things that I learned going back to pivoting is that even when it doesn't look good, when it doesn't look according to plan, just keep going.
And that's powerful, because when you look at men and you look at, you know, mental health, and you look at the suicide rates, you know, they double women. And they say Terrence, why do you always say that? I'm like, because it's true. Look it up. Facts are facts.
Yeah.
And
numbers don't lie.
They don't. And I advocate for women for a lot of different things, you know, because they are deserving of that. And I, you know, but the one thing about men is I want men to be in the home for a longer time in terms of health. Right. You know, not everybody dies of sickness. Some people say, yo, I can't take this anymore. I'm gone. Right. Yep. And so when you have people dying, men dying of suicide, and then men dying of sickness, and sickness like heart attacks, heart disease, aneurysms, things that can be stress, you know, induced. Right. Because we don't talk. We don't express. We don't go to therapy. It's taboo because of like what we talked about earlier. Because what's my family going to say? What's my church going to say if they find out I'm going to therapy? You know, what's my mom going to think? What's my dad going to think? What's my brother, sister? What are these people going to think about me if they find out I'm going to therapy, or if they find out that I'm having issues and challenges, right? So we keep it inside because we want to look the part versus actually being the part, you know? And sometimes you grow up with a lot of trauma, and you don't even really even know that it's trauma until you might be 30 years old and you find out, oh, this was trauma. Wow. Right. So it's just, I harp on mental health with men because women are out there getting therapy. They're out there getting their annual checkups. Just ask your wife.
Yeah. And
it pushes these things because it's important. Right. And the reason why I also advocate for men in mental health is because if I do that, I want to see men live longer. I want to see them sick with heart attacks. Right. You know, with just because they don't want to express, they don't have any safe spaces. Well, I don't want to tell my wife I ain't gonna. That's a different conversation now. You know what I'm saying? Like, men should also be giving men safe spaces with our friends. Right. Yeah. Because I always say, if I could party with you, if I can go drink with you, have a couple of drinks, or watch a football game, basketball game with you, we can kick it and have fun, have locker room talk about sports or whatever. I can't talk to you about nothing real. But how are we real friends?
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree with that, man, because it is one of those things, like you said, we grow up with people and we don't want to tell anybody our business. That's what we were taught, in the household. So now, yeah, it's good that we have a group of friends, but like you said, there's still certain things we can't talk about, and that shouldn't be. Or like you said, we get married, even in marriage, we get married and we're like, can I tell my wife everything? Can I tell her everything, like every little thing? Because now we're still wondering, okay, if we have this conversation, are we going to be made fun of? Is this a safe space? Are we going to be judged?
Is this gonna
Can I
come back
just,
up later in the argument?
right? Is it going to come back up later and you throw it in my face, use it against me? All these things, man. But to your point, I just came off of a speakers convention this past weekend. And listen, man, like 2 months before, I started feeling really down. Like right when after the guy invited me, like, hey, I want you to be one of our speakers, this and that. I started feeling really down. And at first I was like, yo, where is this coming from? But it all goes back to, leaving my job, saying I'm gonna do speaking full time, promoting my book. And it's like all of those voices that you talked about, all of those negative feelings, negative thoughts, they amplified like tenfold, like legitimately. To the point where I looked at my wife, I started telling her about it because she knew something was going on. She was like, yo, what's going on? Right? To the point where we talked about it, and I told her, I said, you know what? I'm not wasting no time. I went and got a therapist right away.
Talk about
Like,
it.
I'm not ashamed to say that because I knew, okay, I'm building up to something big. Right. Like you said, you got to believe it. You got to see the vision, know how big it's going to be. And I'm like, I can't allow this to distract me or hinder me from getting to this goal, speaking at this conference. So if I need help from a therapist, if I need to talk to my wife, if I need to pray at church, whatever it is I need to do, I'm calling out everything. All the shots are calling out. I'm calling out right now. So, but I'll tell you something interesting. The other thing I realized was, the other day I was going through my emails and I have an old email from one of my doctors when I was younger. And I realized that the surgery that I had, right, which is in the book that you talked about, that was very traumatic for me, was in May, right? So what was last month? May, right? So I realized, and this is not my first time realizing this. I realized this a couple of years ago as well. We carry, and there's a doctor, man, I can't remember her last name, but her first name is Dr. Anita. But I can't remember her last name. And she's coming out with a book as well. But look her up. She deals with emotional health and trauma, right? And one of the things I heard her say was, we carry trauma with us. To the point where, right, and I this is how I interpreted it because, like I said, I realized this a few years ago. Do you know that whenever I'm having a hard time, like when it's really, really hard, it usually starts in May? And I'm like, this is crazy. The surgery was in May, and I'm thinking because of that trauma, the depression, all these different things. I'm not saying it happens every May. But I'm saying whenever I'm going through something really tough, like a real difficult challenge, it usually is in May where it starts. So I just found that interesting.
That's crazy. It's interesting the cycles that tend to happen sometimes in your life, and it comes in the same seasons. And I often wonder about why those things happen too. But it's good that you actually realized it too, and then you actually went to therapy, got the therapist, you figured all the things out, and then you completed. You didn't sabotage. You actually completed your booking. You know what I mean? Because you was booked and busy doing your speaking event, and I'm sure that it went off without a hitch. And how did you feel when you completed the speaking event after going through all the voices and all? How did you feel after you finished and you completed?
Oh man, Yeah, this answer might not be the answer you were looking for. But yeah, man, even when I finished my book, like remember I told you, I actually left my job so that I could finish the book because I knew working that job, I couldn't come home and be exhausted and now shift my mind to writing a book. So after I completed my book and published it, and to your question, after I finished the speaking event last week, there wasn't much feeling. And what I mean by that is, me and my wife talked about this. I realized I don't celebrate my wins the way I'm supposed to. I just don't. And I'm still trying to address that, but just quite honestly, I'm still struggling with that because the book came out not great. You know, the book came out good. I'm still promoting it. The speaking event went awesome. Like, I get compliments about the book and the speaking event that just happened. And for some reason, you know, there's still something in me that I need to deal with where I just can't celebrate it like the way that I need to. And I'm trying to think, the last time I celebrated really was each time our children were born. That I can say I definitely celebrated, but like personal stuff, I realize I don't celebrate the way I'm supposed to.
I think it's a man thing. Possibly. I remember one of my mom, I think it was, I don't know if it was a year ago or a year and a half ago, one of my best friends, she told me, she was like, "Why do you do this?" I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, "You just told me that you did like these three or four amazing things. You just hit on each one. And I tell you like, oh, you did that's a great job." And you just go, yeah, whatever. That's what I do. Yeah, no, it's fine. Like, next thing.
Right. Keep it moving.
And she's like, "Well, why do you do that?" And I'm like, I'm like, I don't know. I'm just having a conversation, just telling you some of the things I did. She was like, "You gotta stop," because you have one life. You have to stop and realize the accomplishments that you actually are making in life.
Man,
if you do not, she's like, when you get to that mountaintop, she's like, you're never really going to realize all you've been through to get to the top. You bypass everything. You don't acknowledge your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's the journey that should be celebrated, not the destination. And I was like,
That's right.
Ooh. I was like, you just preached the word to me. I was like, okay, you know, and it's a challenge because a lot of men just keep your head down and keep working. Keep your head down and keep working. Why are you celebrating? But truth be told, we're only here once.
That's right.
Why shouldn't you celebrate your book? Why shouldn't you celebrate that conference, that speaking engagement? That's a part of your book. That's the part of your life that it's a book that you're still writing because you're still here. You're not dead. Yeah. So you're still writing the pages to your own book.
Yeah.
And that's a big part. Yo, wrote my first book. It's an amazing. You know how many people have writer's block that don't get out their first book? I'm still struggling with mine.
I was almost there, bro. I was almost there.
I'm honest about mine. Like, I'm still struggling with just mine, right? Because it's just writer's block. It's this, it's that. I'm over here. I got this going on. I got that. Like, you released your first book, and that should be celebrated. That should be honored. You got to speak. You are doing the things that you set out to do in life. Those are the things in life that should be celebrated. In a world where we celebrate everything that may not be good in life, celebrate the wins, brother. Because you're a black man doing amazing, positive things in the world. That, especially like you said, being a believer, other things are being celebrated, right? That may not be so good, right?
Right.
But you're doing positive things. You're putting positive things into the world. You're a vessel, and those are things that should be celebrated, because you owe it to yourself. You owe yourself everything. You owe it to you, like, and you're doing it. And you're doing it for your family too. when your kids look back, they're gonna be like, yo, daddy wrote how many books? 2 or 3 books? Yeah, he's an author, you know what I mean? Pop my collar, yeah, don't worry about it. You want him, you know what I mean? You know, you want him to come to you know what I mean, the class and talk about what he does. Yeah, no problem. You know what I mean? That's real.
Yeah.
Right? You're on stages speaking to people, blessing people. Right? That's a big thing, telling your story. And it's not about the number. Oh, I only spoke to 30 people or 40 or 100 or 30. I don't care if it's 30 or 30,000. If you can impact one person by your story,
I did my job.
That's what it's for. Yeah. That's what you're doing. That's the amazing part about what you're doing. So definitely, so salute to you and salute to your journey. And congratulations on your speaking engagement. Congratulations on your book. And I hope you become a best-selling author, New York Times, everything else. I hope you get the coins, all the coins that you deserve, based on the fruits of your labor.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
So when it comes to husband life, right? How has husband life affected Kareem? Like, how has that married life affected your life? Being married 10 years in the game, you're kind of a veteran. You are a veteran at this point. I think you passed that. I think that's like, it's like a 7-year mark. That's like what they say, right? Yeah, you passed the first year.
It's a real thing.
That's the first year, which is a doozy.
Yeah.
I tried it myself. It didn't work. But that's for a story for another day. But you passed the first year, then you passed the year 7, and you've hit the illustrious 10-year mark, correct? Mm-hmm. So you're a veteran in the game. How has married life impacted your life since you've been married for 10 years?
Yeah, man. Listen, man, marriage will change you. Hopefully for the better, right? Because for me, again, I have to go back to patience. It taught me to be more patient. Mm-hmm. Also for me, it's also taught me I want to say it. People actually do change, not because of, oh, he tried to change me or she tried to change me. But when you grow, you change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, flowers don't look the same, you know, out of season as they do in season.
Ooh,
right?
Talk about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we know that caterpillars become butterflies, right? So mm-hmm. they change. So another thing that I had to learn was, you know, I started looking at my wife. I'm like, girl, you are not the person I married. Like, what did you do with her? Right? Because now, going back to those voices, you start thinking, oh, this is the real you. You try to play the switcheroo on me, right? But it wasn't that. Like, she's very sincere. And, man, mm-hmm. again, I got to shout out my wife, man. When I tell mm-hmm. you, supportive, sincere person, loving, the funnest person I know to be around, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw her changing, I thank God that I had the wisdom to see that it wasn't her, you know, faking out and saying, oh, now this is the real me. But she was actually going through life changes. See, because life changes are different from when people try to front on you. You know what I'm saying? When people try to fake who they are and be two-faced. Mm-hmm. And I realized, you know, I want to say, like you said, at that 7-year mark, but at the time it was like stuff had been going on for like 9 months. I realized in between those 9 months that, oh, she's not faking. She's actually changing because of life. Mm-hmm. Like, she's older, her career is changing. You know what I'm saying? We're moving. Now we got kids. And this is the effect of that. This is who she's becoming. Like you said earlier, like, we are all still becoming. And going back to manhood, I don't think we give ourselves enough grace for that. Like, we don't allow ourselves to change or even feel what we feel. Like you said earlier, like we can be upset about something, but because we don't want to be an angry black man, now we suppress it. It's inside. And now we're holding on to feelings. Like you said, we're getting sick. We got, you know, mental stuff going on. We got heart stuff going on. We got, you know, lung stuff going on. Why? Because when you hold in stuff, it affects the body, right? And again, I wish I could remember the doctor's name, but she talks about that as well. When we hold on to stuff, it affects the whole body. Your mind and your heart affect your whole body. So for me, that's what marriage has done for me, is realizing that I'm allowed to feel what I feel. Because there was a time, you know, when I was talking to my wife and I let her know, I was like, I don't think you allow me to express how I feel. Because if I say this, that, the other, you know, you got a quick comeback. Or you think I'm just saying, I don't know, saying it just to be saying it. But no, this is how I really feel. And we had that conversation, and I'm so glad that we did. Those difficult conversations have to be had. They're not going to be easy, but man, they will bless your marriage. They will bless your relationships. It could be a friendship. It could be a brother, sister, father, mother, cousin, uncle, aunt, whoever. But have those difficult conversations, man, as a man, and allow yourself to feel what you feel. Give yourself the grace to change, right? Because that was one of the things I thought something was wrong with me. Like, legit, I saw myself changing. And same thing with my wife. I saw her change. I'm like, man, what's going on, man? This is not me. But those changes were necessary. Those changes were part of the journey that we talked about, right? So that's one of the things that I realized being a husband, man. It taught me to be more patient, give myself grace, allow people the space to grow, allow people the space to mess up. Ooh. Like, let people mess up. That's what we do. We're human. Like you said, we're not perfect. We're just striving to be the best version of ourselves, right? And that's not perfection. Just striving to be the best. So because of that, we're going to mess up.
Man, and, you know, I'm going to get on the fellas a little bit. I'm an advocate, but I got to call a spade a spade. I also see a post out there from the fellas that say that there's no rewards in marriage for them, or like, what's the point of them being married? And I see those posts, and I see those things that people say. You know, like that, you know, that there's, you know what? It doesn't pay for me to get married. It doesn't pay. And I would disagree. Now, I will say, pick wisely.
Yes, sir.
Talking from somebody from experience now, pick wisely. Pick wisely. You know, I got experience on the opposite end. You know what I mean? I'm still telling you, the fellas, pick wisely, because that is something, because if you don't, you're right. Mm-hmm.
It's a lifelong commitment.
Well, your life gonna be turned in a different way if you don't pick right. But if you're like Kareem, you pick right, and then your life is blessed, right?
Yeah, man.
And there are advantages to getting married. There are advantages to, you know, to marriage for men too. So, you know, I definitely just wanted to kind of dispel some of those things, because some of those, it's not true. And my man has been in the game for 10 years, and he could tell you all of the benefits that come with getting married to the right person.
Yeah. And just so I can add to what you're saying, man, for me, one of the things that I love is, like, pick a person that feels like home. You see what I'm saying? Like,
peace.
Man, when you come home and this person makes you feel at home, like, this is my safe haven. This is my house. This is my home. This is where I can chill, be myself. Because let me tell you, man, like, we had to go through some things and grow through some things to allow ourselves to be ourselves, man. Because we think it happens all in the honeymoon stage. It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. I mean, it feels great. It's nice while it lasts. But listen, man, you got to go through some things and grow through some things to actually allow yourselves to be yourself. When you get to that point, man, oh, man. When I tell you, it's way more than worth it. So it has to feel like home. That's one thing. The other benefit, man, is people don't realize, man, that old saying is true. Two is better than one. Because when it's just one person, you are having to do everything by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You are having, and I'm not just talking about paying bills, you know, splitting bills and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about duties around the house. I'm talking about raising the children. I'm talking about difficult decisions to make for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's making these decisions? You want to do this on your own, you know, single dad, single mom, or you want to have somebody with you that you know is in your corner. Right.
Right.
That you can bounce off each other and support each other. I definitely see that as a huge, huge benefit, man. I mean, people don't realize there's a lot of stuff going on in the government right? This is a whole nother conversation, but there are advantages to being married.
Right.
When it comes to taxes and other things that the government control, there are advantages to being married. So, man, but for me, it's just that home feeling, having that home feeling, right? And if somebody speaks your love language, right? It could be, you know, acts of service. It could be physical touch. It could be gifts. It could be words of affirmation. Man, I think I'm forgetting one. There's a fifth one. Touch.
Yeah, physical touch.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
Gifts. Quality time.
Quality time, classroom. Yeah.
And quality time, right? Mm-hmm. When you find somebody that has that, right? Because a lot of people don't realize, you think you're arguing or you're not getting along because, oh, we're just not made for each other, or we're not a good fit. It's not that.
Right.
They might just speak a different love language than you, and they may receive a different love language than you. So those are the things for me, man, that shows me that marriage is definitely worth it, spending time together, because at the end of the day, I think you said it earlier, do you want to, who are you leaving your legacy to?
Right,
are you going
right.
to be just by yourself? You know, the world's going to say, well, Kareem was a nice guy, you know, and then you go in the ground and then that's it. Or you want, they want to be able to say, you want them to be able to say, man, Kareem left this to his children. He left this to his wife. He did this for the community. You know, there's something about marriage. I mean, you've heard the most successful people say that their game leveled up after they married the right person.
Right.
Literally.
The key word is what you just said, the right person.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the right person, please be single, because because you could probably accomplish more being by yourself, because there's a lot of people getting in relationships because they cannot be by themselves. So they go from one person to another person, and it's the different name, different shell, but the same person. Right? Because they can't be by themselves. And it's like, take time, chill, right? Please, right? And get to the right, because what Kareem said is so important. It has to be the right person that's custom made for you. And it doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect, because it is going to be perfect. If it is, I'm scared for you, because the shoe is going to drop one day. That shoe, the hammer going to come, and you're not going to, that Thor hammer going to come, and you're going to be like, I didn't see that. What happened? Mm-hmm. Nothing is perfect in life, especially in relationships. Because also, let's be honest though, Kareem, a lot of us don't date properly. We don't ask the right questions.
Mm.
We go for more so vibes. Oh, it was a good vibe. Yo, we had a good vibe. You know what I mean?
Another conversation.
Right. And somebody could appear to be amazing. They could fly you out. They could pay your bills. And then they could be a nightmare tearing you up in that house.
Yep.
Didn't ask any more qualifying questions. Right. Even go deeper into finding out if this is really your person. I know.
Yeah.
Because I've been that person before. Now I date. Now I have a girlfriend. But I dated her with purpose. Purpose. Right.
That's right.
In a sense to where it's like we talked about different things. Our conversations was different. Like, it wasn't just about the vibe. Right. We hanging out, we having a good time, everything, love, like pictures, we outside, everything cool. You know, it was some deep conversations about trauma, her trauma, my trauma.
Yep.
How we gonna merge some things, right? You know, are we getting the help? Have we gotten the help? Have we unpacked some of this stuff now? Are we talking different types of conversations? Yes, it was nice. Yes, the vibe was there, it was cool. But I thought we were like, look, what's the ugly stuff? What's the in between here?
Yeah.
We got to know. Right. And so making sure that when you get married, it is the right person is essential for a successful relationship that you can have 10 years, like Kareem, Dr. Williams. And you guys, and then I'm sure they're going to go for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. That is the goal. But no matter where you're at in life, I don't care if you're 40, you're 50, whatever it is, how much time you spend with that with your person, whether it's 50 years or a good solid 25, 30, whatever that is, just make sure to the best of your ability that you're vetting and that they're the right person for you. Now, Kareem, we know the book is out. We know that you're available for speaking engagements. Well, tell the people first off where they can get this amazing book.
Yeah, man. So all the information is in one place. You can get the book and book me for speaking engagements on my website. It is kawillspeak.com, right? That's kawillspeak.com, kawillspeak.com. So you can go there and get the book. You can go there and book me for speaking engagements. You know, I speak on mental health. I tell my story as well. I deal with talking about addiction. And if, you know, for a youth group or you want me to speak at your church, any kind of event, I also speak on, you know, like you said, the book title, Being Angry at God and what that deals with, and motivational stuff as well, man, because we have to find a way to deal with the voices, like you said, deal with the negative thoughts, deal with when we're feeling down, dealing with doubt, having a plan for all of these things. So, yeah. And also, my social media is K.A. Will Speak on IG, and the same thing for YouTube, LinkedIn, and a fan base as well.
Absolutely. And if you're going to go and ask this brother to speak, I'm just going to part, and I'm going to say what I'm about to say, the views expressed, I'm about to say, does not reflect Kareem at all. He didn't say this. He didn't tell me to say this. Well, come out your pocket, please. No, look, I mean, come on. Like, you know, we're getting to a point. I mean, I've spoken for free at events in my life. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah.
We at this point in life, yesterday's price is not today's price.
Talk about it.
And he ain't got to say it. I'm going to say it. Pay the man. Pay him what he is worth, just like you would pay anybody else of any other race.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Buy the book. Support the book. Don't be in the DMs. Yo, can you send me? Nah. Hey, man. You spend $20 on other things, $20, $25, whatever, however much the book costs, if you could spend it doing whatever it is, that you spend it on sneakers, cologne, watches, bottles.
Right. Yeah.
You could invest in yourself.
Right.
With a book that's going to bless you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say, you know, because we got to stop this, because I've seen it too much. Yo, can we get this? Yo, can we? No, we can't get nothing free.
Yeah.
Unless the Lord puts it on his heart.
I heard it said this way, man, and I've been repeating it ever since, man. If you say you want to support me and my business, because now this is what I do full time, and you say you want to support me, and the first thing you do is ask me for a discount, you're not supporting my business. That's not supporting my business. As much as you think you are, it's not supporting my business, because that cost has to come from somewhere. So, yeah, man, I really appreciate what you said, man. And again, I appreciate just your podcast, man. Again, conversations of the heart, things that we need to talk about, having real conversations and not just these, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm fine, and keeping it moving conversations, especially as men, like you mentioned.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor speaking with you today. I hope to bring you back on. You know, I actually might bring you and your lovely wife back on to talk about relationships and marriage now. I mean, you got my mind spinning.
Hey, look, man, we can do that because we have a podcast where we actually talk about that, man. Talk about relationships and culture. So, yeah, man, we'd love to.
What's that podcast called, man? Plug that, man. What's the podcast called?
Yeah. So on wherever you listen to podcasts, it's called Marriage Journey, Our Marriage Journey. And then on YouTube, it is called K&G Culture. K&G Culture. We call it that because we realize that we don't have to have the same culture in our households that that our parents had and our grandparents had that we grew up under. Because a lot of times we think that we have to bring that same culture into our own personal homes. And it's like, no, now you have a opportunity, a chance to build a brand new culture with your wife, your husband, your children in your household. So we call it KMG culture. And, you know, just asking people to the hard questions are questions that make them think about, hey, what can you do to create your own culture in your household, in your relationships, in your on your job, you know, create your own culture wherever you are.
That's powerful, man. And I'm looking forward to going on YouTube and subscribing and checking out the podcast. Because I'm definitely interested in to hear what you guys have to say, and then you know, definitely looking to bring you both back on the show so we can get into this marriage and relationship talk.
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't do many of those because everybody's doing them, but sometimes I do like to just do them occasionally just to kind of get a different perspective from people who've been through some things in life, right? Yeah. We're not looking for sensationalism, we're not looking for clout, you know, or just things that you know, people just want to say for shock value here at Conversation Apart. We're looking for real, we're looking for honest, and we ain't looking for Disney. Right. So that's what people think marriage is. It's Disney.
Yeah.
And it's not. In real life, it's not Disney either. So therefore, marriage is not going to be. So again, man, definitely appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Kareem Williams, go and get his book and book him to speak. And this has been another episode of Conversations of the Heart. Again, it is your boy T-Tell. I will see you next week. Peace.